text can be found in verse 31. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Now, as we have been studying in this chapter of Hebrews, chapter 11, we've been looking at the many different aspects of true faith. God has given these saints in the Old Testament as pictures, as types and examples of what true faith is. True faith in Christ. We saw that true faith has one object. Remember, Abel had one sacrifice, and his sacrifice was more excellent than that of Cain's. We saw that Abraham's faith was effectual when he was called, that he obeyed God. He obeyed God. We saw that Abraham, as he sojourned through this world, he sojourned not by law, but by faith. And so then does true faith sojourn even by faith and not by the law. We saw that through the faith of Sarah, that faith, though her faith was not perfect in example, yet in the eyes of God, our faith is perfect, seeing that it is the faith of Christ. The faith of Christ that is given to us. We have seen that true faith endures unto the end. The Scripture says these all died, what? In faith. True faith endures. True faith endures to the end. We saw that true faith yields up those things that are most precious. You remember Abraham, by faith, offered his son Isaac. He gave up that which was most precious to him. And so it is with us who believe. We willingly give up those things that are most precious to us, that we might have Christ, that we might be washed in His blood. True faith repents from the pleasures of sin, like Moses, who refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, to endure the sufferings with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So we saw that true faith repents from this world and from our kin and from the pleasures of the flesh in order to obtain the inheritance that is given to us by Christ. And we saw that true faith partakes of the Passover. We saw that in verse 28. Through faith he kept the Passover. True faith keeps the Passover in that Christ is our Passover. Christ is our Passover. And true faith looks to His blood to redeem us, to keep us, and to cleanse us. True faith goes through the Red Sea. By faith they pass through the Red Sea on dry land. So it is true faith in Christ. We pass through the justice of God by Christ being lifted up. He has pardoned the justice of God so that we who have faith might go forward unto glory, unto eternal life. Verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down. We saw this last time that true faith marches around Jericho. What is that? That's preaching the gospel. They were declaring to all Jericho that God had given them the land. And they marched faithfully, continually, patiently, silently, marched with only this, the blowing of the trumpet. What is that? Preaching the gospel. What are we doing today? We're marching around Jericho. That's what we're doing. By faith, we are marching today. And the only sound that comes out of our mouth is the ram's horn, the blowing of the trumpet, the preaching of the gospel. And you know what happens when the last trumpet shall sound? The dead in Christ shall rise first, and the walls of this world shall fall flat. And God, and we will give us the kingdom. And so now we come to this example given to us. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Now let us this morning for a few minutes consider the faith of Rahab the harlot. How her faith is a picture of true faith. The faith of Rahab the harlot is a picture of true saving faith. And the first thing I would have us to know this is that God, the Lord God, before the nation of Israel ever crossed over to Jordan, you remember He had promised to give them the land of Canaan. He told them to go over into the land. The Lord had given you the land. Go in and smite the land. Destroy them. That was the command of God. And this was the promise of God. I will give you the land. I have given you the land. Matter of fact, that's past tense. I've already given you the land. Now go possess it. That's what they were to do. Possess the land. And so then, now take your Bible and turn with me to Joshua. Let's see some of this account that takes place in Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. This whole chapter deals with Rahab and her faith. The faith of Rahab, the faith of that harlot that saved her. And so in Joshua chapter 2, verses 1 through 24, we have this account of Joshua sending two spies out into Jericho. He told those spies, he said, you go out and spy out the land. He sent out the spies secretly. He said, go and view the land, even Jericho. And they went out and came into the harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. But the problem was, they didn't go in secretly. They were found out. And it was told the king of Jericho, behold, there came men hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come unto thee, which are entered into the house, thy house. For they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said, there came men unto me, but I wist not where they, whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for you shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of her house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon her roof. And the men pursued after them the way of Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they were pursued after them, they were gone out and they shut the gate. Now what had happened here is they were found out by the king. But Rahab hid them. Instead of giving them up to her king, she hid the spies. Now why would this woman do such a thing? Why would she risk her own life? Make no mistake about it, she did. She put her own life in peril for these men. These men she had just met that night. This man that just came into her house that same day. She risked her own life to hide these men. She lied to her king. Why? Well, verses 9 through 11 tell us why. And says, before they were laid down, she came up to them upon the roof, and she said unto them, listen, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, and when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites, which were on the other side of Jordan, Shihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. This woman hid these spies because she had heard and believed the word of God. She heard. Rahab hid these men because she believed. She forsook her own people because of this faith. Faith in the word of God. Now she not only heard the word of God, so did everyone else. You got that? She heard the word of God, and she said, "We all heard." Neither did there remain any strength in any man because of you. We all heard this. We heard this. God has given you the land. That's what he heard. We know this, that God dried up the sea for you. We heard that. We heard God destroyed Pharaoh for you. We heard God made Sihon and Og. You utterly destroyed those kings. We heard this. Everyone heard this. This wasn't just some noise in some little small group. This was all throughout the city. But what made the difference in Rahab was this. She believed it. She believed it. Today, all of you will hear the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. All of you will hear the justice and judgment of God against the wicked, that every sin must and will be punished. Hear this. The soul that sinneth, you listen, it shall surely die. It shall surely die. Not maybe, not perhaps, not might. It will die. That is the word of God. You must hear the truth that all have sinned against God. All have come short of the glory of God. That's the truth. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And this is also the truth. You've all have sinned. We've all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As these people of Jericho were cursed and condemned to death, so are all that are not righteous and perfect before God. In Deuteronomy 7, verse 2, it says this, "When the Lord your God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them." This is what God told him. He said, "When you go in that land I've given you, you're not going to make a covenant. You're not going to show mercy to them. You're going to utterly, completely destroy them." Now you listen. In the day of God's justice, when He comes, listen, there will be no covenant. There will be no covenant made in that day. There will be no mercy given in that day. When you die and you stand before God and you are then suing for mercy, it is too late. Too late. Too late. There'll be no mercy in that day. Do you know that you have sinned against God? Do you know of God's promise to punish sin? You listen, so did Jericho. Everyone in that city knew that. They knew something about the gospel. They heard something. They heard something about justice. But you know what? That did not change their hearts. I could preach to you all day about sin and judgment, sin and judgment, sin and judgment. You know what that does? Nothing. Doesn't change one person's heart. Won't do it. Didn't change their heart, won't change yours. Didn't save them, won't save you. Why? Because they believe not the word of God. How do I know that Jericho didn't believe the word of God? Because they didn't beg for mercy. If they truly believed what God said, they would have begged for mercy. Instead, what did they do? They shut their doors and they tried to kill the spies. They tried to kill the spies. You listen to what they heard. Listen. Listen to what she tells them. She says, "I know this, that the Lord of God given you the land." We all heard this, but I know this. There's a difference. There's a difference. She said, we all heard God gave you the land. But listen, I know God gave you the land. I know God gave you the land. Even so it is with every sinner. They know they have sinned. They hear the gospel of God, that God has given Israel the land, His elect. You listen, that's the gospel, isn't it? God has given Israel the land. Israel is a type of what? The elect. They're a picture of the church. We know this. God has given His elect heaven. We know this. We know this. That God has redeemed Israel, His elect, by the blood of Christ. And only Israel, spiritual Israel, those chosen, elect of God, shall be saved. You remember what Jesus said in that last day when He comes. He's going to divide the sheep from the goats. He's going to separate them. And what does He say to the sheep, His chosen, His elect, His redeemed? He said, blessed are you. Come, you blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you when? Before the foundation of the world. This kingdom was prepared for the elect before the foundation of the world. It's theirs. When you hear that, do you like Jericho to shut it out? You not want to hear that? Do you refuse to surrender to the promises of God? Do you still refuse to believe on Christ alone? Do you hold out for your merits? Hold out for your self-righteousness to be pleasing to God? Do you hold out saying, well, it's just all going to work out? It ain't. It ain't going to work out for you. You know what it's going to work out for? Israel. It's going to work out for God's people. That's what it's going to work out for. If you hold it out for that, you'll be destroyed just like Jericho. Soon as the last march is made, the last trump is sounded, the last elect soul called to salvation and faith in Christ, then will the walls of your self-righteousness, the walls of your vain religion, the walls of your good works, the walls you have built year after year after year, working so hard to get to heaven. Those walls are high, they're thick, but in the last day, when that last trump shall sound, all your self-righteousness will fall on your head. Come crashing down. If you're like Jericho, you hear this word, but you don't believe it. You listen. Just as sure as those walls fail, I guarantee you, you will be judged of God and condemned forever in hell. You don't believe on Christ, that's where you're headed. That's where you're going. There's no question about that. But now I want you to see some hope. I want you to see some... There's hope here. There's hope here. There's hope of salvation because of this. Not all those in Jericho died. There was one woman and her family that lived. There's hope. There's hope. There was one woman who did not die that day and her family. Not all those that were cursed people died. There was one woman who was cursed who found mercy. And her name is Rahab the harlot. Rahab the harlot. And what made the difference? Our text says, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not. What made the difference? She believed the Word of God. She believed the Word of God. This woman, Rahab, the harlot. She said, I know the Lord hath given you the land. I know the Lord your God, He is God. In heaven above and in earth beneath. In other words, listen to this. She says, I know God's given you the land and He has the power to give it to you. He's not only willing to give it to you, He alone is able to give it to you. This was the faith of Rahab. And I tell you, this is the faith of every one of us who believe in Christ. I know God has given it to the elect. And I know this, that He is able to give it. able to give it. That not sound like our faith? Is that not a carbon copy of our faith today? It is. It is a copy of true faith. And so the first thing I would say is this. True faith believes the Word of God. True faith believes the Word of God. The gospel of Christ is often represented by light, isn't it? Light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a what? Light unto my path. Peter said this. He said, we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arises in our hearts. Even so, the gospel is like the noonday sun. You put the noonday sun without the clouds of the sky in the way, and it shines in its brightness. That's a picture of the gospel. Now then, if you took everybody and you put them in an open field, and the sun was shining down on them all, that is exactly how the gospel shines today. It shines bright. It's clear. But though it be preached, the gospel be preached with perfect clarity and plainness of speech, though it shine upon all men, yet this is true. Only those who can see understand its value and worth. Isn't that right? We got lights on in here. We understand the value of those lights. Why? Because we see. Without those lights, we would not be able to see. We understand something about light. We understand the necessity of light. And so it is true spiritually. Only those who can see spiritually understand the necessity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We see its value. We see its worth. But I tell you this, those that can't see would not see its worth or its value. Though all Jericho heard the same message, yet it was only known and believed by Rahab because she alone was able to see her need. You got that? She saw a need that the other people could not see. You see, they looked at those walls and they said, well, we don't have a need of mercy because we have these walls. They trusted the walls. Rahab knew the walls would not save her from God. You see, she saw something that they didn't. She believed something that they didn't. She saw that she saw her need of mercy, and this was done by faith. By faith, she saw the election of Israel. By faith, she saw the power of God to save them and give them the land. She saw the faith, by faith, her cursed position and need of mercy. Behold, I tell you that God is just, and all who sin shall die, but only those who can see their need and know the remedy of it will seek it. You got that? Only those who can see their need. I'm going to ask you right now, do you see your need? Do you know your need? Are you still trusting the walls? Which is it? It's either or. You can't do both. Rahab did not trust the walls. She needed something more than those walls could provide. She needed God. She needed mercy. Have you seen your need? This woman was a vile woman. She was a harlot. A sinner. She was a woman under the curse and justice of God. But now, she had heard of the promise of Israel. She had heard of God's grace to give them the land. How He declared, how He delivered them by the blood of the Lamb, by the water of the Red Sea, how He destroyed their enemies. She saw that these alone were the objects of God's mercy. Behold, I tell you that God has promised to give His elect people all spiritual blessings. His blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with what? All spiritual blessings. According as He had chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Not by their merits, not by their works, not by their deeds, but according to the work of Jesus Christ. I tell you that by His righteousness alone, He has made the elect holy. By His blood alone, He has paid for all their sins. He, having been accepted of God, having made perfect their salvation, is now risen from the dead, ascended to the throne of God. He has made them accepted. Accepted before God. But how then is this hope for me? I know that's, Psalm 73, Asaph said, I know God's good to Israel, but as for me. What about me? I know God's good to you. What about me? I know you're made holy, but what about me, the sinner, the cursed, the condemned, the harlot? What about me? Is there any mercy for me? How can I know my election and know if I have a part with Israel? How can I be made fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life? Listen, here it is, the same as Rahab. Believe on the Son of God. Believe on the Son of God. There's the difference. You must be like Rahab. You must not only hear the word, you must believe the word. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. So then the question is, do you believe on the Son of God who is lifted up? Do you believe on His perfect redemption upon the cross as all your hope? Now there are many who will say without question, yes, I believe. I believe that. Ask anybody. And go around your family, ask anybody. You believe on Jesus? Well, yes. Of course I do. What do they mean? Well, I know I've made my decision for Jesus years ago. That's what they mean. They say, well, I was baptized, I ate the Lord's table, I joined the church, I give my tithes, I do good works. And you may do all those things, and yet be without true faith. There are many who have done all those things and will die in their sins and go to hell. Many, many church members will die in their sins and go to hell. Many people who have been baptized will die in their sins and go to hell. Many people who ate the Lord's Supper and do good works. Isn't that what those that are going to hell say? Lord, when do we not do these things for You? We have done many wonderful works for You. In Your name we cast out devils. And He'll say to them, depart from me, you work iniquity. I never knew you. There will be many like Lot's wife who enjoy the benefits of the church, benefits of God's saints, but yet in the end, where's their heart? Their heart's in the world. They say they believed on Christ, but their heart's back there. That's what she did. She was taken out of Sodom and looked back. Why? That's where her heart was. Where's your heart? Can't you tell where Rahab's heart was? Her heart was with Israel. She didn't look back. Her heart was with Israel. You remember Judas. He preached the gospel for 3 years. He did miracles. He cast out devils only to find out he was a devil in the end. Demas, that laborer, fellow laborer with Paul, preached with the apostle Paul. Can you imagine that? Preached with God's apostle. Paul, looking at Demas, he said, Demas is my fellow laborer. What happened to Demas? Demas, having loved this present world, hath forsaken. See, Demas, he claimed to believe on Christ, but found out. These are all men like those that are planted on stony ground. They receive the seed with joy and spring up immediately, having an appearance of faith. But let some trouble come, let some difficulty, let something from the world tug at their heart, and sure enough, they'll wither away and go away from the gospel. Why? Because they had not true faith. Had no true faith. They had no true love for the gospel of Christ. Scriptures are clear to us all about this matter. Make your calling and election sure. Is there anything else more important? Not to the believer. I want to know, am I deceived or do I really believe on Christ? Paul says, after I have preached to others, that I myself should become a castaway. Paul had this thought. He said, I don't want to be deceived. I want to know, is my faith real? Do you not want to know that? How does God do this? He proves us. He tries us. He tries that faith. Didn't he try Rahab's faith? She believed that before the spies got there. But she had to prove it. And she did prove it. How? She rejected her country and hid those spies. She took God's side and Israel's side over her people. May God the Holy Spirit examine us. Through the light of Scripture, may we open our hearts to see if we have the marks of faith. Have you heard the Word of God? Do you believe it? Second of all, we can see that Rahab's faith was true in this. She was a harlot. You know in Scripture, when it mentions Rahab, she's always got that title. Rahab, the harlot. The harlot. You see, true faith is only given to true sinners. Good news for true sinners. Not so good for people who have any righteousness of their own. You see, this woman was a great sinner. She had no virtue. She had sold herself to the pleasures of sin. And this is true of all of the elect and redeemed of God by nature. We are people of no virtue and people who are sold under sin. You know that the people that are chosen of God are not chosen because of their righteousness? Not at all. God says of Israel, He said, I chose you not because you were the greatest people in number. Not because you were the best people. I chose you because I loved you. Because I loved you. You remember that high priest Joshua and Zechariah, where he stood before the Lord in those filthy garments, and Satan was just about ready to accuse him. He was just about ready to open his mouth to resist him. And the angel of the Lord said, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath, listen, chosen Jerusalem, rebuke thee. Is this not a brand plucked from the burning? A brand. An old, smoking, dark piece of charcoal worth nothing. Plucked from the burning. That is exactly who true faith is given to. Sinners. Sinners. Only sinners need to be redeemed. Only the guilty need mercy. And only the wicked need forgiveness. Only those who are dead need life. And only those who are blind need sight. Back over in John, when Jesus healed that man that was born blind, he said this in verse 39. He said, for judgment I am come into the world, that they which see not might see. And they which see might be made blind. And the Pharisees said unto him, and some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said, are we blind also? Now you bet they were. But they didn't like you to tell them they were blind. Don't you tell me I'm blind. Don't you tell me I'm a sinner. What are you saying that I'm a sinner too? That I need sight? Well, I have you know that I'm the top of my class in theology school. I'm the top of my class in the book of the law. I know all of these things. I know. Well, if you know, it's not talking to you, is it? Jesus said, I come that the blind might see. Now, are you blind? Do you need sight? Well, good. I got a message for you. Jesus said, I came just for you. I came for those who are blind. Now, if you have somewhat to offer still, somewhat to contribute to your salvation, you listen to me. You're lost and without God. I don't care who you are and what school you went to. I don't care what education you have. I don't care whose son you are, whose daughter you are. You are lost. You're without Christ. You are condemned and cursed of God. That's just true. You have somewhat to offer, you're cursed of God. For I've told you the word of God, that God gave this land to His people and only to His people, that He has redeemed His people and only His people, and yet you still shut up your heart. You will not surrender. You don't know you're blind and you don't know your need. But true faith understands this. By nature, we are guilty before God. True faith understands who we are. And true faith surrenders. Rahab surrendered. You got that? She hid those spies, but I tell you this, she was surrendering. She was. She surrendered everything for God and His people. She said, I know God gave you the land. Have mercy on me. This is a message that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Listen to it. Jesus Christ came into the world to save who? Sinners. Of whom Paul said, I am chief. See, then the true faith is only given to sinners. This is a mark of true faith. I am a sinner and nothing at all. And Jesus Christ is my all in all. Secondly, true faith flees to Christ and forsakes all else. This woman, when she lied, now I'm not going to excuse this lie and I don't want to go into it because it'd take too long. Rahab lied. This just shows the weakness of her faith. Okay? She didn't have the faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, did she? She didn't have that much faith. But she lied to her king. She lied. In other words, she rejected them as an authority and accepted God as all authority. She gave up everything in her world, her family, her friends, and anyone else who would not go with her. She forsook all and followed after Christ. Isn't that what the Lord said? If any man come after me and hate not his father and his mother and his sister and his brother and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. I remember preaching the gospel in the hospital. This man, if he heard the gospel, he said, preacher, if what you said is true, all my family is in hell. And I
asked him, why would you go also? Why would you go to hell with them? Believe on Christ. And that man went away sad, sorry. Because if he believed the gospel, he would have to reject his family as all lost and damned. And you listen, true faith does that. True faith does that. I tell you, I have a brother that died in his sins. No hope. No hope. If he came to Christ the last moment of his life, I'm not going to bank on it. I'm not going to bank on it. No evidence. I tell you this, I ain't going with him. I loved him. I ain't going with him. I side with Christ and his people. And let the world be damned. You know, the Lord said that man that went to bury his father, he said, you follow me. And he said, oh, let me go and first bury my father. And he said, no, you let the dead bury their dead. You follow me. Yes, Lord. Let the dead bury their dead. I'm going with you. That's exactly what Rahab did by faith. She forsook everything and followed Christ. That's what true faith does. And true faith does this. It finds its refuge only in Christ. Now, after her confirmation, after her confession and rejection of her people, Rahab then pleads for mercy in verses 12 through 14. She says, show kindness unto me. Show kindness unto me. Is this not the plea of everyone that comes to Christ? Show kindness to me. Show mercy to me. Not, Lord, let me show you what I've done for you. That's not what we say. No, Lord, have mercy on me. The harlot, have mercy on me. The sinner. That's what we say. It's what true faith says. Have meekness, have mercy on me. And you remember, she let those spies down by that cord, by that scarlet cord, out of her window. And this is the promise of those spies. They said, our life for yours. Now I want you to hear this. This is the word of Christ. My life for yours. That's great statement. I'm going to show you kindness. I'm going to show you such kindness that you've never seen. My life for yours. Behold, you who repent from your sins in the world and self, we know this, we have no place to go. Where are you going to go? Here's what the spies said. They said, look, you go into your house and you let down this scarlet cord outside, and when we come, we swear that nothing shall hurt you. Nothing shall hurt you. You see, that house was a refuge. That house on the wall of Jericho was a place of safety. What? The scarlet cord had been hung out the window. You see, this is a picture of Christ. My life for yours. Come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Believe on me, and you shall never perish. And I tell you, those who have true faith, we come into Christ by faith. As Noah went into the ark and was safe, as Rahab went into the house with the scarlet cord, as the Israelites went into the house with the blood, even so we enter into Christ. And when that last trump shall sound, when the last message is preached, and the walls of Jericho fall, you know what? There'll be one wall standing. What wall is that? The wall of Christ. The refuge for sinners. It's the only place we'll be left standing. Can you imagine that? The whole city wall was destroyed, and there was one house, one portion of that wall that was just as strong and sure as if it were on the ground. Safe. Safe. Rahab and her people entered into that house and they were safe. We who believe in Christ enter in and are what? Safe. I don't feel safe a lot. Do you? I don't feel safe. I don't care how you feel. in this house, you're safe. Nothing will hurt you. Nothing will harm you. Though the world collapse around you, you are safe from the justice and judgment of God. Safe in Christ. And listen, true faith endures to the end. You know what? Rahab and her family, they stayed in that house. After the spies were gone, that family got everything they got, and they went into that house and they lived in that house. They didn't move out of that house. They didn't go to the store. They didn't go see friends and neighbors. They stayed in the house. You remember the promise of the spies. They said, look, as long as you're in the house, you're safe. Now, if you go out of this house, your blood's on your head. Okay? This is talking about apostates. These are apostates. This is the idea of apostasy, is that people say, well, I'm in Christ, and they go out. They go looking for something else. I know many men have done that. They said, oh, I love Christ, believe in Christ, and then they go out looking for more. There's got to be something more than faith in Christ. Got to be something more than this refuge on the wall. There's got to be something else out there. And they go out and they never come back. The apostle said this, those who go out, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance. You got that? They're gone forever. This is why the trial of our faith is so precious. Because true faith always remains in the house. Now I ask you again, is your faith the faith of Rahab? Have you heard the word of God? That God has people. God has redeemed those people. God has given them the land. Do you know that God is God? Do you believe that? Well, if you do, you'll know this. You're a sinner and nothing at all. True faith will be given to sinners. When a man sees his need, true faith rejects everything else but Christ. True faith believes God's word about myself. I believe my God's word about myself, don't you? I believe God's word about Christ, don't you? Therefore, we flee to the refuge, Jesus Christ. And you know where we're going to abide? We're going to abide in the refuge until the walls fall. You're safe. Safe. Nothing can harm us. Safe in the arms of Jesus. Safe on His gentle breast. There by His love o'ershaded, my soul sweetly finds rest. May God give us the understanding of our faith. Is it real or are we pretending? You know what? If it's real, it'll be tried. And when it's tried, it'll be proven. And guess what? Then it'll be tried again. And then it'll be proven again. Then it'll be tried again. Then it'll be proven again. That's true faith. That's what God does. He tries that faith. Tests it. Why? So that you may know. Now, God knows. He gave you the faith. Don't you want to know? I do. I got to know if I'm in the Lord. Nothing else matters. Nothing. Not my family, not my friends. Not this body. Christ. Christ alone is all. Pray God bless us.